Hallelujah. Praise God. Lots of stuff going on. I hope you make yourself available for these things. As far as Blaine Bartell goes, he'll be speaking here at the church on the 7th and the 8th. He will be speaking at our Brotherhood event the night before. So he'll be here June the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Okay? Obviously, from what you saw in the video, he's going to have quite a bit to share. And make sure that you bring some friends, bring some individuals out, amen, to be impacted by that ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we're talking about priorities. We started talking about this last week. Who was not here? Who was not able to make it here last weekend? Let me see your hands. Not able to. Okay. So we're talking about priorities, amen. So priorities means that you put the most important things first. Yes? Thank you, David. Yes? Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to review a lot from last weekend because it's a priority that we especially cover what we are covering as far as introduction in this. And that is talking about salvation. That is the ultimate priority. So I'm going to, some of you that were here last weekend, make believe it's the first time you're hearing it. Okay, get excited. All right. And we're going to review. We're going to add some new material. And then we'll continue on this for the next couple of weeks. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, we talked about seasons last weekend. We know that God created seasons for the earth, for the natural. You also, we know in the spirit that there are seasons. When we're born again and our spirit comes alive unto God, we become aware of changing seasons in the spirit. Last night we had our prayer meeting, our monthly prayer meeting. It's really a monthly prayer service, okay? And man, the spirit of God moves during those times. And last night we probably had the largest crowd we've ever had come out on a Friday night for the prayer services. And so Margie was here. Margie's been a good friend of ours for many years, many, many years. We have a great history together. And I said to her, I leaned over to her at one point, and I said to her, it's amazing what's been happening lately. Now, you got to develop a sensitivity in your spirit, okay? And I said to her, it's amazing what's happening. Years ago, again, most of you know, I've been in this thing now for over 40 years. And in 40 years, in four decades, you see a lot of fads come and fads go. You see a lot of seasons over those years. Anybody that's been around that long in the things of God would understand what I'm talking about. But I said to her, it seems like now, especially this past year or two, that the seasons are shifting and changing and shifting and changing a lot faster than they had been in the past. Or at least maybe we're just becoming a lot more sensitive to the shiftings in seasons. Don't miss out on the season. You see, the more we prioritize our lives according to what's important to God, the more sensitive we will be to the Holy Spirit, that when he shifts a season in our life, we'll be aware of it very quickly. Okay, and you can develop this. You can develop this. Obviously, pray. Ask the Lord to make you aware of these things. Pastor Pam, last week, after the weekend, when I preached this message and introduced it, again, talking about seasons, talking about priorities, she texted me, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday. It was Monday. And she said she had been, I forget what ministry she was either in contact with or she had read an article about it that stated the Jewish calendar has different months than we have. Are you aware of that? Okay. And every few years, because the calendar shifts from time to time, every few years there's an additional month that gets added to the calendar. And that month, I forget what the name of it is.
Adar?
Are you sure that's the one? Who said that? Right there. Okay. Are you sure that's the one? Okay, we'll go with it. All right. And connected to that month, somehow, I don't know all the details, but connected to that month is the tribe of Issachar. Okay? Anybody ever heard of the tribe of Issachar? The tribe of Issachar is known for one thing. That they were sensitive to the times and seasons of God. That was their job. That was a function in Israel. That the sons of Issachar were the ones that were very sensitive, and they knew ahead of time when things were going to shift and when God was going to shift things. That month started this week. We are under that banner of the sons of Issachar. It is extremely important for us to believe God that we would function that way, because in the day and age that we're living in right now, please pay attention to me, okay? You and I cannot afford to miss out on our season. You cannot afford to miss out on it personally. You cannot afford to miss out on it corporately as a church, all right? We used an illustration last week, out of the scriptures, out of the gospels, of what happened to the city of Jerusalem and to the nation of Israel when they missed their season, okay? They did not recognize Jesus when he showed up on the scene. Even though for thousands of years, they were waiting for this Messiah to come, because their priorities got messed up. They got their eyes off of God and got it onto politics and got it onto their power and their wealth and selfishness and self-centeredness. Jesus the Messiah was standing in front of them, and they could not recognize the season. Okay? That is a major, major, major. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Now as he, Jesus, drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if he had known even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Why? Because when you get your priorities messed up, you get blinded to the season that you're in. There are people in this room right now. You've got your priorities messed up, and you're going to miss out on some of the things that God wants to do in your life because you've got your priority and your focus on wrong things. Amen? Amen. For the days will come upon you when their enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you on every side. This took place. The Romans, within 40 years, the Roman armies came to Jerusalem, surrounded it, put it under siege, and destroyed the city. Why? Because they missed their season. All right? We talked about this a lot last week. I'm going to move quick on it. Natural seasons, when they change, can be disruptive. Do we know that? Yes, we do. We know that our bodies react differently. We know that our body clock on the inside gets affected when the time has changed. Okay? Pretty soon, the weather's going to become more like today, every day, nice and warm. And we're going to kick back and go into that enjoy the summer mode. Don't abandon your schedule. Go have fun, go enjoy, but do not disconnect from church through this season now that's coming up, the natural season. Because what will happen is, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because it's just common sense. This happens every year. There's some people that are going to disconnect. They're going to take the summer off mentally, spiritually, going to just do whatever you want to do for 9 weeks. And then in September and October, we have a slew of people that will come and rededicate their lives again to the Lord. And it shouldn't have to be that way. Our lives should not be like hitting the sandbar. Like, you're going real good and boom, you hit the sandbar. And then you start going again and you're traveling at a good speed and you're having fun and boom, you hit another sandbar. And that's not how we're supposed to live. And the only person who determines that is you. And me, we got to be intentional about, we're going to be consistent. We're going to be steady. We're going to be even keeled. What are we going to do? We're going to keep our priorities set the way they should be. Amen? Yes. Amen. So we're going to if we're going to navigate into the future with success, we got to keep our priorities in order. And priorities is something all throughout the day, we are faced with opportunities to prioritize our time, our attention, our affection, and our finances. You got to keep them all prioritized. Yes or no?
Yes.
How many of you love to live in complete disorder? Let me see your hands. How many of you get up in the morning and say, from this point forward, I'm going to make a plan for my life to be in complete chaos? Nobody would do that in their right mind, would we? But yet, when we're not intentional and when we don't keep our priorities lined up, right, That's exactly what ends up happening. And let me tell you something, okay? We've all experienced this. So it can take us a lot of time to get back on track again. And we don't have that kind of time. Ain't nobody got time for that. So, let me give you an example. When the doctor tells you that your weight is the main issue that is causing all kind of problems, you don't go to the favorite fast food burger place to celebrate. What do? You start to prioritize your food choices and you start becoming intentional about physical activity. Yes or no?
Yes.
How many of you are in a situation right now in your life, physically, where you wish you had listened to the doctor 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago? Because when we don't keep our priorities right, sooner or later there are consequences, yes or no?
Yes.
I mean, this isn't like nuclear science here. This is common sense. And yet we keep going like nothing's ever going to happen. But it does. Amen?
Yes.
So, to neglect priorities is to invite chaos and ultimately invite unwanted consequences. Let's again settle in on the number one priority in our lives and the number one priority as far as God is concerned. That is salvation. God's number one priority is that we are restored back to Him, never to be separated again. And this is something we'll be studying over the next few weeks and studying what the Bible has to say. You got to start out with this priority, because everything in our life is going to depend on this question. Are you born again? Yes. Is your spirit alive unto God? Have you experienced that transformation, that regeneration that cannot come from you? It's got to come from God, but it depends on our response to the question. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Now, some of you might be sitting here saying, well, this is such basic stuff. Yes, and that's where we miss it in the basic stuff, because we don't keep our what? Even in the church. Even in the church. There are people, now probably none of you here might not fall into this category, but people will come to church sometimes. They'll like the music. They like the ambiance. Oh, this is different. This is not like the church I grew up in. You know, I don't have statues staring at me. And it doesn't have that old smell from the pews that are 150 years old. So then a person starts coming to church. They like the vibe. Oh, the people around here are really nice. Man, they put out some really nice desserts after the service. Coffee's not too bad. And so they start coming to church, start developing the habit of coming to church. So they become church people, but never become followers of Christ. And I like my job, I want to keep my job. It would be negligent for us to just always assume every week, every time we get together, that everyone in the room has already had that born again experience. But we know for a fact that is not the case. And I'll guarantee you there are people here even tonight. You know about Jesus. You've heard about Jesus. You're aware that He went to the cross. You're aware, in theory, that He died for your sins. But you've never come to the point where you came face to face with Him.
Amen.
And so you're in very grave danger. Because what will happen is you'll become religious. You'll become a church person, but you'll never experience a supernatural change that can only come from the Holy Ghost, because you never got to the place to say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I have no hope of eternity without You. And what will mask those things and quiet that voice in you, well, I'm a good person. I've been going to church on a steady basis. I even go Wednesday night once in a while. I bought myself a Bible. I carry it around. You understand what I'm saying? That's dangerous. That is dangerous. That's what Karl Marx, why he referred to religion as the opiate of the people, of the of the of of the human race. Blaine said it. It becomes a drug. And a drug will numb you. Are you listening to me? I'm making this plea here. Don't just come to church. Become a follower of Christ. Experience him. Have his spirit come to live on the inside of you. And listen, I can't do it for you. If I could, I would come down there, open your mouth, and shove the Holy Ghost down your throat. But I can't do that. You can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you. You have to make a choice. You've got to decide that you want him above all else in this earth. Are you getting this? John chapter 1, verse 10. Don't you dare sit there and go, we're going to listen to this again. I've heard this so many times. Obviously, you haven't heard it enough or you wouldn't have that attitude. Speaking of Jesus, I want you to really grab this. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own. It's talking about Israel, the Jewish people. And his own did not receive him. But look at verse 12. It flips it around now and gives us hope. But as many as what? Received him. To them he gave the right. We could say the ability, the privilege, the honor of becoming what? Children of God. Now that should give you a check on the inside. Because our society and our culture wants us to believe that every person that's ever been born is a child of God. That is absolutely not true. We are all creatures. We are all creations of God. Yes or no?
Yes.
But how does one become a child of God? One becomes a child of God by free choice when we receive Christ. And you got to be careful when you say, because I don't want to paint this picture like Jesus is this beggarly, like, oh, come on, receive me, receive me, receive me. But the fact of the matter is, you, by choice, choose. You either choose Christ or you reject Christ. And be careful again of your religiosity. Be careful again of your Christian practices. And maybe you learned how to say all the right things and you know, hallelujah and praise the Lord, brother and sister, and all this other kind of stuff. That stuff will numb you to your need. You know whether or not you have been transformed on the inside. And that's the message that we need to get out there. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who do what? Believe in his name. Is it up there? Get that scripture up there. Verse 12. It's up there? Good, I was afraid to turn around. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who do what? Believe in what?
His name.
Believe in his name. Well, I believe in God. I believe in God. So does a Hindu. So does a Muslim. So does a Sikh. So does whatever. You fill in the rest. But do you believe in the name of Jesus? That's when we become children of God. I know this bothers some people. You don't like that. You don't like to think about that stuff. Verse 13 even clarifies it even more. Who were born not of blood. It's not talking about natural birth. Nor of the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. But of who?
God.
God. This is how we become children of God. Nobody's born a child of God. We're all creations of God. Amen? Listen to me. Why is this a priority? Because you and I cannot afford to get this one wrong. You can get anything else wrong in the Bible. There's plenty of doctrines in the Bible that doesn't really matter how you believe them, if you believe them, if you don't believe them, whatever. But this one here, this is the one that determines where you're going to spend eternity. Not what day was Jesus born on, what day was what day did he really go to the cross, or is the Holy Spirit really important? Did God create the earth in 6 days? Those are great, but they're not going to determine where you spend eternity. what's going to determine where you spend eternity is, who is this Jesus Christ to you? Amen. To you. It's extremely personal. Yes. To you. Not who he was to your father, not who he was. My grandfather used to go to church, and my grandparents would. Got nothing to do with it. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. Each generation has to come to him. Now, we're studying priorities, and we're going to make salvation our number one priority in this series. I want to make sure that every single person that ever comes through these doors and sits in these seats at least has the opportunity to make the choice. Whatever choice you make, that's between you and God. But understand this, whatever choice you make is going to determine where you spend eternity. I recently heard a very well-known Bible scholar sum our entire lives up in this way. Number one, God made the world. Number two, he owns it. It's his. Number three, he makes the rules. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Doesn't matter with you. Who cares if you agree? It's not your world. You didn't create the universe. He did. He makes the rules. Number four, we are all guilty of breaking the rules. He told us all, thou shalt not lie, yet we have told, every one of us have told at least one lie. And that's the very least of our sins. We're commanded not to steal. I don't even want to go there. But listen to what Psalm 5 says, verse 4. You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. What does that mean? He can't be in the presence of sin. Now, that's a big problem. Again, I know this is all very basic, but sometimes we need to really make sure that we have a clear understanding of salvation. The fact that God cannot be in the presence of sin is a big problem, because the Bible also tells us, and it didn't have to tell us because we know it already, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Turn to somebody and say, you wanted the all. So we got a major issue here. If God cannot dwell in the presence of sin, and all of us have sinned, we're in bad shape. Something has to happen. Because this tells us if we've sinned only one time in our lives, it still makes us guilty. And we cannot stand in the presence of God. And that only leaves one other place for us to go when we leave this body. And if we don't have our sins dealt with while we're here, and we're going to enter into eternity with sin still on us, and God can't be in the presence of sin, then don't tell me, well, when I get there, God's going to weigh all my good deeds and my bad deeds. No, you won't even see him. You won't even get to the threshold of heaven. There's only one other place for people who reject Christ and don't want him in their lives. And God's created a place, because you're not going to die and disappear. Your spirit's going to live forever. You're conscious. You'll be very conscious of what's happening in eternity. People that have had near-death experiences, people that have been translated to heaven and come back, they say life is so much more real outside of these bodies. So we're very, very conscious in eternity of everything that goes on around us. And the horrible nightmare is that hell was never created for man. Hell was created for the devil and for the angels that followed Lucifer. A place to contain them so they would not be able to pollute the entire universe. Are you listening? It's all very practical stuff here. And some of you might say, well, you know, I have to worry about that for many years. How do you know that? You don't know that. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Not guaranteed tonight. This decision has got to be made now. It's a matter of priorities. Not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, you know, I really didn't give any thought to it. Sorry. Just the way, oh, God would never do that. Honey, you don't know God of the Bible. You know a God that you made up in your mind. You made a God that you fashioned in your image instead of being fashioned in his image. You got to let the Bible tell you who God is, not what some program tells you, not what some person on TV will tell you who God is. You got to go find out from the scripture who God is. And Psalm 4, 5, verse 4 says, you're not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. There is no evil with him. Amen?
Amen.
So, now, I can't substitute for your sins because I have my own sins. Okay, if we can't stand in the presence of God, and it only leaves hell for us to spend eternity because we have to pay for our sins unless we can find a substitute to take our place. That's how we solve this problem. We find a substitute. God himself provided a substitute so that that substitute would take the punishment on him that you deserved and I deserved. I know you're quiet tonight. This is a sobering message. Okay? Why? Because it's a priority that we realize and come to terms, even tonight, with where you're going to spend your eternity. What's the use of me standing up here teaching all kinds of stuff? If you're not settled yet, where are you going to spend your eternity? When you settle that issue, life on this planet takes a complete different, you're just on a different path because you've got that settled. Does this make sense or what?
Yes.
So then this is a matter of priorities. And don't handle it like it's less than that. So, I can't substitute for your sins. I can't be that substitute. You can't be the substitute because you've got your own sins. However, there is one who came down from heaven, born of a virgin, without sin, perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Now I'm telling you, I'm charging you in the name of Jesus. If you're sitting here right now and you're going, I know all this, I know all this, I know all this, I've done this, I'm settled in my heart. Okay, but do you know how to present this message to somebody else who's not settled in their heart? Do you know how to present this? Do you know how to get somebody else and pull them out of the flames of hell? Yeah, you might be settled. You might have this whole issue taken care of. But what about the people around you in your life? So, how did Jesus do this? How did he substitute for us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And we quote this so many times. But do we actually understand the mechanics here? Because this is how we are able to come into the presence of God. This is how we could stand before him and not get nuked on the spot. Okay? For he, God, say God.
God.
Made him, Jesus. Who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the what? Righteousness of God. In him, in Christ. Why? Because he became our substitute. God took your sins. He didn't wink at them. He didn't make believe they didn't exist. He didn't sweep them under the carpet. He dealt with them by putting them on Jesus and having Jesus die and be sacrificed. His blood was shed for you and I. It's the only way we can receive salvation. You can't clean yourself up enough. You can't get your act together enough. I'm coming against this because I want people to be deceived in their mind to think, well, you know, I used to be a really bad person, but you know, I'm much better now. Good, so you'll be a good person going to hell. And honestly, it's funny, but it's not. What a tragedy, what a nightmare for a person who lived their life thinking, I've been a good person, I really, you know, limited my lying, limited my stealing, limited my all the sins, and I'm a good, I'm generous, I help people, I go out of my way, and then end up in hell. What a nightmare. So we've got to eliminate this deception. And you've got people in your lives, you've got family members, you've got coworkers, you've got neighbors that are in this deception. And we aid it sometimes. We help this stupid deception. Somebody dies. They lived a terrible life. They rejected Christ. What is it? As soon as they die, they all become heroes. And we go, well, you know, they were a really good person. No, they weren't a good person. They deserved to go to hell. What do we do when we send that message? Now, what are you supposed to say to a person? Hey, your loved one's in hell? No, of course not. But we got to stop enforcing these deceptions. When people have come up to me and we're both looking at each other eye to eye and we both know the person probably didn't make it, what are you going to say? I'll go, hey, listen, none of us understand the mercy of God. Maybe in that last split second, and I'll say, but you could be guaranteed that your loved one, your friend, your coworker, whoever it was, you could be guaranteed they had the choice to make. It's a priority. So how did Jesus do this substitution thing? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, this is the Apostle John writing this. These things I write to you for what reason? He's telling us right here. So that you may not what? Sin. But let's face it, we're going to. And look at the rest of the verse. And if anyone sins, we have a what? An advocate with the Father. Who is this advocate? Jesus Christ. The who? The righteous. Now look at verse 2, because verse 2 we need to unpack here. Because verse 2, if you're not careful, we'll go, shh. And he himself is the what? Propitiation. Man, that's a complicated word. Say it with me. Propitiation. For what? For our sins. And not for us ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, what is that connected to? What scripture do you think of right away when you read this? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, come on, that whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. So John 3:16 is connected to this scripture and connected to that word propitiation. Because without propitiation, John 3:16 doesn't mean anything. What is this word propitiation? Propitiation, I'm going to define it for you. Okay? Because you got to grab the revelation of this thing. Because that's really who Jesus is. Not was, is. Propitiation describes one who takes the punishment on behalf or in place of another in order to satisfy the penalty for the injustice. Amen. Plain and simple, this is what it means. Jesus was the sacrifice that God accepted in your place so that you could go free from eternal punishment. That is a big deal. Because I don't know what it is about us Christians. Many of us entertain this thought subconsciously. Well, God just forgot about my sins. No, no, no. God didn't forget about your sins. God didn't wink at your sins. God didn't take your sins and hide them someplace. God took your sin and put it on Jesus. He literally became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Listen to me. I'm going to keep teaching this because the understanding of this fact will keep us from sinning. John said it. These things I write to you for what reason? That you may not sin. Now, if we think our sins were just winked at, if we think that nobody really had to pay for our sins, if we think that really my sin was, God forgot about it, so it really didn't cost anything, there was no penalty for it, then maybe if we're entertaining those thoughts, it'll give us an incentive to sin again because there's no consequence to it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But if we understand the fact that there are consequences, and just that those consequences were put on the one who never sinned, who didn't deserve any of the consequences, maybe when we grab a hold of that revelation, that maybe when we have the opportunity to sin, maybe from in here we'll rise up, how can I do this? When he suffered so much on my behalf because of the things I already did that I can't change. You see how there could be a restrainer? You listening? Yes. Bottom line, Jesus willingly died in your place and my place. He literally, factually, in real life, took the death sentence that you and I deserved so that God's justice could be satisfied. God is a just God. Amen. Is God love?
Yes.
Is God mercy?
Yes.
Is he compassion?
Yes.
Is he all loving?
Yes.
But he's also the judge of the universe.
Yes.
The judge of everything that is seen and unseen. And there's not one thing that has gone on that he is not aware of. Somebody's got to deal with this stuff. God is just, and he cannot wink at stuff, and he can't go, okay, come on, I'll give you a pass. The only reason you and I could ever stand in his presence is because the sin that was on your life, he took, lifted it off of us, and put it on his son. And that's why Jesus died such a horrible, brutal, horrible death. You imagine all the sin of all time, of all humanity, coming and hitting that body while it's already on the cross being nailed to a piece of wood. The horror. And if that wasn't enough, that was just what he experienced in his natural body. Most of us don't even think about the fact that he had to go into Hades and suffer what anybody else would suffer who rejected salvation. Let that grab a hold of you. I pray that it would rise up in you. I pray it rise up in all of us whenever we're tempted to do something that we know is going to grieve the Spirit of God. So that it would restrain us. I beg you to consider this stuff. Get the basic foundation down 100% so that you're not shaken by things. No matter what happens, whatever ups and downs you suffer in life, they won't shake you because you know you've got this foundation. Even if, God forbid, you would drop dead tonight, you know that you'd be immediately in the presence of God. Not something to fool around with. I'm asking you, get your priorities in order. Stop playing games. If you didn't even realize you were playing games until tonight, then do something about it. I love you coming to church. Every pastor wants to see every seat filled. But if you're just coming to church to experience that good feeling and you haven't yet made that decision of who Jesus is that will determine forever where you're going to spend eternity, settle that issue tonight. Stand up, everybody. I don't want no music playing in the background. I don't want any distractions. I don't want nobody leaving the room unless you absolutely have a medical emergency. And even then, listen to me and listen to me clearly. Eternity stands before you tonight. You have a choice to make. And don't think because I'll just ignore it, I won't listen, you're still making a choice. Tonight, you're making a choice. Either receive Christ and accept him as your Savior and your Lord and receive forgiveness of sins, or you're making the choice to reject him. I'm warning you. If you choose and in your mind you say, well, the next time I come to church, I'll do this. Number one, you're not guaranteed you're going to come back the next time. Number two, you are establishing a precedent. And that precedent is this, that you reject him. The next time, it will be easier for you to say no to Jesus. And that's even more dangerous than rejecting him tonight. So, raw as ever. 100% in your face. If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have never bowed your knee to Jesus and said, I need you. I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. If you have never received him, never declared your faith in Jesus Christ, get out of your seat and come up here right now. Look, I don't get commission. It doesn't matter how many people come or how many people don't, but people's eternity do. Please do not fool around with your eternal destination. If you know you've never said that prayer and you know, and you're not sure if you were to take your last breath tonight where you would end up, please get out of your seat and come up here. I want to pray for you. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else? It always takes one to begin the whole thing. Anybody else? I pray the Holy Spirit would convict every person in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Are you coming up for you? Okay. One more time. I'm not going to drag this out all night. Because if you can't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter whether you listen to me or not. One more time. If you know you're supposed to be up here, get up here, please. Okay. All right. You understand what we're talking about here tonight? Okay. We're all going to pray with you. Okay. But it's your voice coming out of your mouth that's going to determine what happens here tonight. And you understand that Jesus loves you so much. He made sure you were here tonight to hear this message. In fact, if you were the only person that showed up in church tonight, I would have preached the same message. Now, I don't suggest that happens, but you listening? So we're going to declare with our mouth what you already believe in your heart. And I believe you do that. You believe that because you wouldn't be up here if you didn't. Let's all pray this prayer together with them. Amen? Amen. Let's say this together. Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe he rose again from the dead. And he's alive right now. So I ask you, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Come into my heart. Make me a child of God. Thank you for paying for my sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Stay up here. Stay up here. Now, maybe you're in this room tonight and you have prayed this prayer at some point in your life, but you've drifted away. Your heart's gotten cold towards him. The fire's not there like it used to be. You've literally forgotten the reality of who Jesus was in your life. It happens. That's not the worst shame. The worst shame is if you stay in that condition. So if there's anybody tonight that's in that place where you have been born again, but you've drifted away, and you know tonight's the night that you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, or you know that the next priority now is receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said that believers should receive. If you desire to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, come up here. There are people that will be up here that will pray for you. Amen? You two stay here. Pastor Joya, Cindy, would you come up, please? All right. What's your name, huh?
Melanie.
Cindy, this is Melanie. Okay, what's your name?
Michael.
It's Pastor Joya. Okay. Anybody else that's coming up for prayer? Come on up. If not, God bless you. You're dismissed.